So I've been scrambling, and I said, can you bring her to the physics? And why don't we have Joan?
I do this.
You just reminded me that she never responded back, but she was going to take that.
You play this thing on people who ride in my car.
Well, then I was like, someone from psychology. I'm like, no.
There's a serious chance that it's gone. You know what it is? It's just like,
which is so great.
It's too alien.
Shoot out a laser beam.
Like lean in for all the adjustments.
You tell it really bothers them, you know. Like, my oldest daughter is the only one who catches on. She turns my radio now to spy. Like,
but yes, I
is she still in New York?
She does like it. Well, good afternoon. This is Collective Bargaining at the University of Central Florida between the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida Chapter at the University of Central Florida. This is October 5th, 2017. We don't introduce ourselves, do we?
No.
We did a couple of times, and then we kind of got away from it. And
because some places I just stop there and I go, hey, and then go, introduce ourselves. They get mad at me. I forget which venue is the introducer.
But we have a sign-up sheet.
So. And the non-introducers.
Yeah, okay, we're good.
We're the non-introducers. Okay. I have the collective bargaining session minutes from September 28, 2017, for everyone's review.
I have one.
Oh, you have one? Another
one? Back there. Everyone have one? There's a story in there.
Catster magazine?
It's not collective bargaining related.
Oh, is the location for November 2nd changed? Or did I just have...
That's the same one it's been for a while.
Anyway, I probably put it... Probably edited a different meeting, so now I'm really in trouble. Oh, I know what happened. No, I'm looking at the wrong meeting. Okay. Another one that morning.
The minutes look...
good.
Good to me.
Look good to us as well.
Yep.
All right, that's great.
Looks like you got handouts.
Yeah, we have a handout. We hope we'll lighten everybody's mood.
Yep. Oh, well, I'm in a pretty light mood. If I get any lighter.
Why am I doing it like this? Just a few this way. We can project it up. Projector.
Lee is a very clever paper screen. Going over here.
That was the shadows in here.
And behind the paper screen.
So this harkens back to the old days, and we were doing full book, and we were clipping along at a... Yep. A much faster pace, weren't we, Sherry?
Yes, we were.
Both sides can agree to that. So, we sat down and put this together the other day, and as we did it, you know, it helped us see that we're a lot closer than we maybe we thought we were. Okay. So we have a, you know, the things that are checked, we mutually agree on virtually all of it. We noticed in your the last session that your proposal number 6 had totally deleted the first section, the policy section, where we had suggested some modifications, and we're actually fine deleting that.
Okay.
So that's why there's that little, if you're looking at the screen up there, there's a little red check to indicate that we agreed to that. So there's a few places where we've got openings where we haven't agreed on some things. Some of them are pretty small, some of them are bigger. You know, but if we can work our way through those, I think we can finish up.
Okay. Well, we have an Article 23 to share today. First off, I guess the first thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is that we had mentioned last time we met that some of the excellence awards would be rolled out as status quo because of the timing issue, and that has happened to some of the awards. So we now have... Since TIPS rolled out,
RIA's
rolled out at 55. We're now back up from 110 annual incentive award program awards to 115. So what we the reduction in those awards was funding the 11% promotion increase found on line 14 on page 1. So
and
you
also part of the the 2.25 salary. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and part of that. So would we have? So we really can go one of two ways. We can live with the 10%, or if you turn to the third page, and you go to line 104, we have 5 SOTA awards in that. Section of the proposal. If you wanted to eliminate the 5 SOTA awards, we could then go back to 11% on the promotion. So you have your choice. You have your choice of going up 5 awards from 110 to 115 and going from the promotion increase from 11 to 10, or you can go to 110 awards and the promotion is at 11.
And
for,
you can
for both ranks?
No.
Why not? Just the one on 14.
And
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Notes. Well, because the RIAs went out as status quo, if everything else stays the same, we are now 5 more awards than we had in our last proposal. And those 5 awards was what we were funding the 11% promotion level for those ranks that are listed on 13, 14, and 15. So what? But if you wanted to bring the SOTAs to 0, we go back to 110 total awards, 55 and 55, and that means we can go back up to 11% on the promotion. So it's your choice, okay?
Because so clarify the $25,000 in awards is funding the 1% increase promotion to full professor.
Yeah.
$25,000?
Yeah, that's about the same.
And the other ranks, not just professor, but also...
Well, professor and the equivalent.
The second
promotion.
The dollar science.
The full promotion.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, it's about a wash, like $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And...
Now
we could, if you wanted to. No, never mind. Go ahead, Mike.
The other
we don't really care how you divvied up among the awards. You could take, you know, we put Sogol back in at 5. If you want to eliminate it, okay. Or we could keep 5. You know, we've talked about this before. How you divvy up that money is kind of up to you.
So flexibility in that
particular
aspect.
Flexibility in that, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that we are addressing with this proposal is the unresolved issue of the language that you propose to import on Excellence Awards. And what I heard was that you were trying to capture what we currently have in language there might be a tweak here or there, but you were trying to paraphrase and incorporate into the collective bargaining agreement what we currently have on our website for the criteria and procedures for the Faculty Excellence Awards. We thought what we could do, we could address it a different way, which is to incorporate just a reference to that language rather than trying to paraphrase and incorporate that language in its entirety. And so we have proposed that it would be, we would do these awards in accordance with the criteria and procedures on the website as it exists now, and that any changes to the website that would remain intact, and any changes would require a notice to the UFF and an opportunity to sit down and consult on any change. So anyway, that's our proposal for that issue.
Okay, that's noted. Why don't we see if we can't check off some boxes?
Do you want to caucus and think about it, or?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. So with the incentive awards, and in your current proposal, now we don't have any, the deadlines aren't in the contract. Is that correct?
Did we take out deadlines? Mm-hmm. I guess we did.
Because one of the things that we noticed as we put together our little checklist here was that we had agreed to the deadlines that you had in your proposal number 5, and then in proposal 6 you shifted them slightly, and we were curious about what the rationale was behind that. Or
yeah, and I think Jana can probably speak to that because that's the program that she runs. So
I'm going to try to call up the actual proposal 5 and 6 to remember which one they're which. Do you have it in front of you by any chance?
Well, I think the overall idea, though, Jana, is to explain why on page 3 of 6 that language there, the award shall be made according to criteria and procedures listed on there.
I think part of the problem is when you start putting timelines in, it, depending on how the bargaining goes, that can change. And also depending on if you have to close down the university for a week because you have a hurricane, that also can shift your thing. So that's why it's really hard to lock down something on a date like that, but we're still trying to keep it within the framework of, you know, we want them at least a month apart, and I think we're trying to follow the spirit of what you asked, but without maybe the exact letter, because things happen.
Jenna, I think.
Yes, that would be my take on this. It seems to make sense. We have to launch programs. It takes a lot of effort to not only identify who is eligible for the programs, but we have to request data from IKM for certain eligibility requirements, get the information out for faculty, allow faculty enough time to prepare whatever materials they want to prepare. We also are working with our IT folks, getting our electronic systems all going for the ones that are electronic. So having a specific date in the collective bargaining makes it very difficult to actually run these programs as we're in the process of bargaining this every year. The language of putting up criteria, in my mind, that's come August 8th or soon right out as it goes up, you have a month to say, did we change anything that doesn't work? We want to consult on it, and then we can launch these early so faculty can prepare and have plenty of time, and there's no last minute. It'll help have stronger applications, and it won't be scrambling the last minute. Is that helpful?
It's an explanation, yes. So the contract language from your proposal number 6, so this is on page 3 of 7, starts online, looks like 1/12. It provides flexibility in a date. It's no sooner than certain dates. And so that allows, so if we have another hurricane, Lord forbid, or another closure, we can push that back. And faculty usually aren't too upset by having deadlines moved back. That usually helps. So I think the language that you'd offered originally.
Well, the faculty may not be, but the committee that has to review the awards are not particularly happy about those.
Well, those are faculty as well. You know, there's plenty of time, I think. And that language, you know, it's there for everybody to read, and we can get some consistency on it, you know, and it's staggered. And the fact that it's published as opposed to being uncertain should help. And I'm going to go back to my usual personality, which is to be extremely blunt. Everything that has to deal with any sort of mandatory subject of bargaining has to be in the contract. Consultations are not a substitute for bargaining. We're here to bargain. Okay, we're not going to waive our right to bargain in exchange for consultation. No way. No way. Okay? And part of the reason for that, you know, and I'm not intentionally, you know, embarrassing anybody, is that on the websites, the information tends to be wrong. Okay? And so, for example, when you look at the committees and their composition that's listed on the Faculty Excellence website as a Wednesday, the ones for Rhea, Tip, and Sodal all have criteria in there that aren't in the contract. So they're mandating tenured faculty. That's not in there. It doesn't say members in-unit faculty, so this opens it up to everybody. It's not consistent with the existing supplement that we already have. And this is the problem we're trying to address. You know, it's inadvertent. I know mistakes happen. I mean, we make mistakes on our proposals. You know, it happens. But the mistakes are lessened when the group at the table bargains it. And then, you know, our whole membership reads it. Your whole board of trustees read it. You know, then gets ratified. And it's written in there. And so then there's no ambiguity. And much less chance of these sorts of mistakes happening and inconsistencies happening.
Webpage is currently under construction. That would be last year's information, which was out prior to the ratification of this. So this new stuff isn't actually out yet.
That was sent to my department, that exact language.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I mean, we have it in the contract. And, you know, the contract, I can't remember when we published the supplement, but it was some time ago, quite some time ago. And you know, a lot of us in this room worked really hard on this. You know, and we did the best we could with it. And so when we have things floating around other places, it causes confusion. You know, this should be where we go to figure out what the rules are in the contract.
So Chrisa just weighed in and said that we went with the Faculty Senate memo last year because of
the timing.
Faculty Senate is not involved in collective bargaining except as advisory to your team. They have nothing to do with us.
Correct, but the decision was made that since the award announcement had already gone out that we needed to run it.
Faculty Senate has no influence on this contract,
except
for being advisory to your side. They have no role on our side.
Janet, did you want to address the information floating around in other places? I know you talked a lot about centralizing, of having one place to come up with these things.
So part of the reason to have one official source is so we don't have multiple things floating around. Directing everybody to go to one location and having that be the official location would hopefully eliminate some of this back and forth and some of the question. The idea is...
Here it is. This is ratified by both the Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida. If you want, you can copy and paste from it. That would eliminate a lot of work on your side.
Is there some sort of track document that you wanted to show them so that they can correct some errors that are on the site? Because that is something we have to correct. If it's in the supplement, then we need to do those things. That is what the status quo that we're running under for the RIA. So if you, no one's brought it to my attention that there was language that was distributed, so I had no idea that that was happening, or I would have certainly addressed that.
We'll take it and we'll adjust it.
I don't know what you're talking about where they went off, but if there's places where they went off script on what is in that collective bargaining agreement, we need to get it fixed, and we'll get it fixed. Since it's on a website, we're able to do that. I would think address that.
But the counterpoint to this is that in other units, for example, in my department, mm-hmm. we're not routinely going to Faculty Excellence's website for this, and so we're using what's in the contract, and that's just the way my department has always worked. Folks just tend to do that. So you've got different things happening in different departments and units in the university, and so that's not good either. Some folks are going by what's in the contract, others are going by things that haven't been updated yet, and it's just causing unnecessary confusion. We can dispense with all that by just putting everything in the contract.
Okay. I take it, John, that's your response to our proposal. Page 3 of 6.
I'm sorry, Mike.
No, that's okay. And no, it's certainly it's your role to express your position, and we appreciate that.
I was only aware of this, honestly, on Wednesday, you know, because I referenced the contract, you know, as being definitive. And so it was only when I said, oh, you know, as we're going along and examining your proposal and our proposal and trying to work toward an agreement, that we discovered, wait a minute, there's this other thing that specifies what the committee structure is, and we should check that. And then the first thing we see is, oh, no, this isn't in alignment at all. So we might not have discovered it for a while.
Except for our good work.
except that we're doing our jobs here at the table, right? So.
All right.
Well, before we caucus, what else? Are there other things on here that you want to discuss?
On the checklist.
Okay. So, well, the award. Do we want to talk about that at all? It just the date changed, and we thought we'd agreed on the dates, and so if there was some.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I need to look at, because I don't have our past proposals with me.
Okay.
But what are you saying, John, that you were comfortable with the award deadlines that appeared in BOT Proposal 5?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Not the ones in 6.
Well, we just wanted to understand the rationale for it. So if there was something that you saw that would make it better, then we would certainly agree to it.
Okay.
But we just picked that up in our review of the two proposals, and then it wasn't immediately clear what the rationale was or what the advantage would be, and so we were wanted to hear from you what you were thinking on that.
Okay.
So going down through. Okay, we haven't, so looking over on the question mark on the left column there, the only question mark we've got, we haven't heard anything at all about the promotion recapture salary adjustment, our proposal for that.
When we don't have the funds for that proposal, our position is that from time to time we would make a change to a salary administration or a benefit, and that it's perspective going forward from the point of negotiations and ratification, and so we don't necessarily reach back every time we have a change like this, because it certainly significantly adds to the cost of anything that we would agree to today to try to reach back and capture all the people who have ever received a promotion at the University of Central Florida and give them a wage benefit.
Okay, so you're could you articulate for us what your position is?
Our position is to increase the promotion rate to full going forward, but not backwards, not retroactive to anyone
or not to give a wage benefit to people who have already received promotions in past years under the collective bargaining agreement and language and the wage levels that existed at that time, that were negotiated and ratified by both parties in existence at that time.
Okay. And let's look at that. It talks about award deadlines. Okay, we saw what you did here. Okay, so then just a couple of things that we needed to ask about. So in the 12-month payment option, this is way in the back.
Yeah. 23.11 in our proposal number 7.
Yeah, that's where we do it.
There was maybe you could remind us, John, what was your additional deletion?
Yeah, it was just to delete out, let me find it. The phrase, as reasonable, taking into account time and resources.
Why would you remove that?
Well, because again, it's a waiver. It allows you, the administration, to do basically whatever it pleases and not to commit to providing that online calculator and the assistance, claiming that it's not reasonable or it takes too much time, we don't have the resources, like we've just heard. That's a familiar refrain. And I believe the online calculator already exists anyway.
It does.
Right? So it's kind of a moot point. The university is providing that calculator. It is providing that assistance.
So you don't want to delete assist. You don't want to have assistance or.
No, just strike out the as reasonable, take into account time and resources.
Okay.
It's a funny sentence, anyway, isn't it? Isn't it sort of read the university shall provide assistance to assist? When you take everything else out?
It's probably blue book language.
No, it's not.
It's not in most collective bargaining agreements. It's something I remember when we negotiated it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I remember that we weren't sure how it was going to run or how many people were going to need assistance and how much time HR would need to dedicate since they're already really strapped on people and time.
Maybe we just need to say we'll provide an online calculator.
That's what I was thinking. The calculator's there and it's on the line. So if people don't need assistance anymore, we don't need to provide it.
Assistance to assist.
Yeah.
Right?
It is a pretty easy Excel spreadsheet. I don't know if you've ever used it, but
I think when we negotiated, John, several years ago, we thought all these people were going to say, I can't figure this out. You know, can somebody please explain this online calculator, even though I think everybody in your bargaining union is bright enough to be able to figure out that. So I think we threw that in there, but that's sort of, it's actually kind of mumbo jumbo.
Well, then let's take out mumbo jumbo.
So, yeah, well, let's caucus on that, since I don't speak for myself.
All right.
Okay.
All right, and then the administrative salary stipends.
Yeah, now see, that every time we get to that, John, we really get mired into the details of that, because I think we have a lot of concerns about it, but one concern we have is that, and I know you've invited us to negotiate it, so not every, and you're going to tell us, well, just because we put something on the table doesn't mean that's locked in stone. So, but you know, we believe that there are some administrative there's some administrative titles in certain departments that are already paid for because they're made a part of the person's assignment. So they might have an expanded service and a decreased teaching assignment to do the administrative. So they're kind of already been paid because it's been made part of their regular base salary.
Well, they're given a course release.
Well, but if they're given a course release, they're actually getting a reduction in their
teaching
assignment, which is expanding the other assignments up. And we think that there's could be such a variety of of these titles and jobs that could be take a lot of time, or it could take not a lot of time, you know, and there's a vast difference between the different types of efforts that's required for certain titles. We're kind of concerned about the litigation that might result in, because people would say, well, I have an administrative title because in my department I walk around with this as my name. I'm chair of this committee, or I'm chair of a search committee, or and that's an administrative title. That should be, that should fall under this, and I should get my $5,000. Or people would say, I don't have an administrative title, but I'm doing this work, and I think it should have an administrative title, so I'm going to litigate over that because I'm being denied my $5,000 because I have a chair or a dean that just won't give me the title that I should have. We have concerns about we have concerns that some people actually go around and do things that they like doing and they want to do, and they think they do it because it's going to advance them, or they just really feel strongly about assisting the students or the university by doing this kind of thing, and they don't necessarily need the money. And if we had to give them the money, then we wouldn't be able to have them do that because we don't have $5,000 to pay them to do something in particular. So anyway, and that's just some of the things recall.
I think one of the biggest problems for us is making it a flat amount for any administrative stipend, because we have people who are given administrative stipends for activities that take as little as 2 hours a week, or that take as many as 10 or 15 hours a week, or 20 hours. That is a vast difference. I'm not paying, I mean, we would be very reluctant to pay somebody $5,000 for doing something that takes 2 hours a week. As opposed to somebody that has a much bigger assignment. Making a blanket, this is it, no matter what you do, no matter what percentage of effort it takes, we're going to pay you this amount of money. And frankly, some people, I mean, we often use course releases, and for some people, they just as soon have a course release. So I think that there are a lot of questions that we would have to, that we have to work out, and they're not things that we can do simply. We'll take a lot of time and effort if we were even willing to go that route, and I'm not sure that we are.
Okay, well, I'll repeat again that UFF has identified this as a waiver, and by this I mean that the salary increase shall be permitted, as opposed to having some concrete conditions under which it is given, and that we're not willing to grant that waiver. Now, we're happy to see some proposal language, but it sounds like you're not willing to provide any.
Perhaps you just won't provide stipends.
That's a possibility.
We certainly can talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will just take some time for us to work it out.
Anyway, that's the difficulty we are having with the
concept. We're happy
concept.
To assist you with the difficulty.
Good.
Well, one real good way would be just a little status quo language. The status quo language would be really helpful.
Well, there's a way to get status quo language, okay? And that's to provide a little bit more flexibility on your part on the top. Top of this checklist.
Do you want to speak to this?
No, not right now. Yeah.
You mean eliminate the policy? Is that that's the top of the checklist?
No.
Yeah. We'll agree to that. I think
no,
we're
good. I mean the ones we haven't checked off yet.
Dang! I thought this was easy.
Well, it should be easy.
I think this goes back to my basic theory of bargaining. It all comes down to the dollars. If you have enough money, you can buy anything, including flexibility.
Well, I wouldn't. I would say that recent history corroborates that.
Yeah.
So, if you think about how quickly bargaining got done the first time that I was
negotiator,
that was 20 minutes.
5% increase because we didn't ask for anything.
Right, and the second time was reasonably quick too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Was that full book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did the green, remember? We did the.
That's right. And the third time was a little longer, and then this time has been the longest. And yeah. No, I would say that.
Shall we take
that's a pattern.
Follows the dollars.
Is there anything else, John, before we discuss?
Those are the things we had initially. Yep.
Okay.
Charlie? That's yours?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, in an effort to try to add checks to the list.
It's up there.
It's right up there. First off, like I feel like somebody reporting on election night. First off, we can now do Article 23.1 policy. We can call that. And that's now going to be a black check mark instead of a red one.
Well, let's hit lots of black check marks on
there
the board.
You go.
Now, an explanation for why the dates changed from 5 to 6, and we can I think we're going to reach an agreement on the dates for the contract. But in the fifth version, we had the second Friday of December for RIAs, and the third Friday in February for tips, and we thought that might be a little confusing. So all we did in the sixth is we made both of those the first Friday instead of making it in different weeks of the month. So
we were just trying to make, it's easy to remember 1, 1, and 1.
That's
and we had totals in there, too.
All right,
so the sixth was the first Friday in December, and tip was the first Friday in February. So we just figured there was some continuity there and ease of understanding.
We don't really care, but it just makes it, we were just trying to be,
I think we would prefer the consistency of the first Friday for both deadlines, but we can put that language back in. If we can agree on that, then we have a check mark to put in the line of the
question mark
award deadlines. Now, fifth. And sixth, there was one other change between those two, I think, is that in the sixth version, we had SOTL awards in that version, and we had a SOTL deadline of the first Friday in March. In the fifth version, there was no SOTL awards in that proposal, so there was no deadline. So if SOTLs
are
we offered you a choice earlier today. If SOTLs are in whatever we agree upon, we'll need a deadline for SOTLs. If they're not, then we're fine with that one.
Friday.
First Friday of March is what we would propose. So with all of that having been said,
Friday of March is what you would propose for
SOTLs.
If we have SOTLs.
If we have SOTLs. Okay.
If we have SOTLs. Gotcha.
So it'll be 1, 1, 1.
The only one that I would be concerned about is that first Friday of December, because that's going to fall in between Thanksgiving break and right when exams start, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the second this year.
Well, the second Friday in December is not such a great date either.
I mean,
but yeah. John, look at how it's worded. It says no sooner than.
Yeah.
Right.
But if we can get it so we don't have to change it.
Yeah, that's a problem with flexibility, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if we can just get it and leave it for a good decade or so, that would be really nice.
Well, the first Friday in December lets people have a Thanksgiving break to work on.
Yeah. But is second better than first?
No, I don't think so. I think you get in the middle of the exams by that point in grading.
Anybody who's
Does the
teaching have a
work over the Christmas break?
Some of them do.
It varies by college.
I mean, putting it in January when you've had the break to put it together, rather than having to put it together right at the end of the semester when you're grading exams. And
well, I think
anywhere in December up until the 15th is like crazy busy.
What's in January, everyone's starting back a new semester and a lot of work going on to that. So,
And in January, all the excellence awards are due as well.
Although, I was counting heads, John, while you were asking that question, and I think the majority said they were okay with the first Friday in December.
If it has to be in December. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, in January, you get into... You're starting CPEs, you're starting excellence, so, you know, there's just no good time for these things.
Okay.
There's no good time for anything around here anymore.
I think we can agree to that.
No, we're not checking that off, Sherry. Okay, so I think we have
Mike,
made
just give
progress.
Us 1 second. Is there anybody?
Do you want me to call? Do you want to caucus?
No.
Let's just do it 2 seconds. Is there anybody here who objects to that?
The first Friday?
The first Friday.
It already says no sooner than, so if you have some weird thing that needs to be moved later, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with it.
And that works for your side?
Yep.
Works for our side.
All right. Let's agree to that.
Okay. First Friday in December for Rhea's, first Friday in February for Tips, and first Friday in March if we have Sodals.
Do we really get a check for that?
We get a check for that.
Is there a check for that?
Two checks.
Oh, but it was only a question mark that got changed in the check. That was
well,
like
no,
a toss-up
no,
statement.
No, no, no.
Don't take away the joy.
No. There's no check. The question mark or blank is the same.
All right.
Now, I think we should fix. Okay, I'm sorry.
12-month payment option.
Yeah, I'm going to do that now. Good. I think we should fix the 12-month payment option. And take out that the language that is what I referred earlier as sort of mumbo jumbo, and it should read: the university shall provide an online calendar, I mean calculator,
to assist.
Well, and we should take out "an assistance as reasonable, taking into account time and resources."
So
I think that's an awkward phrase that was put in there when this was first rolled out, and I think it's outlived any usefulness. And you're right, it seems to not say anything anyway because it's so and so modified. Yeah. And it's so modified and I mean qualified.
Okay. But, you know. So hopefully your memory is good enough that you can repeat that so I can or strike it through.
It would just say the university shall provide an online calculator to assist the employee in determining a savings amount and fixed reduction amount that will allow the employee's net paychecks to remain approximately constant. And then we would take out "an assistance as reasonable, taking into account time and resources."
Right.
And then, with that, there is the third check. Leaving only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories as defined on your chart. All of them having to do, most of them having to do with money.
we noticed that as well. Well, that's true, not the Excellence Awards, because that's just language, getting the language into the contract and then removing some of the parts that don't make sense or that where you've got groups intervening that don't belong in the process.
Yeah.
Students and for some of the awards, faculty, senate, and some of the others, or at least one other.
Yep.
Well, I think when it comes to the Excellence Awards, because we have done a compare function very quickly, and in some instances where there were changes that we were not comfortable with, so I think we're going to have to probably go through one or two or three each session and just bargain where we're differing on.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very open to that.
How many sessions do you think that left?
This is it.
No.
We roll into the new book.
Oh, well, we do start the new book next session.
Next session. But we have done that before. We've We've done two, you know.
Do them simultaneously?
Two simultaneously. Okay.
Yeah, we actually have a thought on that if you want to explore that.
Sure.
For right now. So what we thought that we would do to make it easier is just go through, start at the very beginning and work our way through. And so we're pretty sure we could give you like the preamble and the first four or five articles on the first day, and then we'll see how far we get on those. Yeah. And then we'll roll through the next ones and the next ones. And I mean, last time we sort of said, here's all the ones that go status quo, and then instead of just take them one at a time and just work our way through the book.
Sure.
Works for us.
That's fine with me. Okie doke.
So we meet November 2nd.
In a different room.
In a different
room. In education, John. In the education
room. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I have a meeting that morning, and I was looking at the wrong building. Yeah, I was sorry. That was my confusion. Okay, so how are we going to get things wrapped up the next time? Or at least make progress towards wrapping them up?
I suppose we can look at, start taking the excellence awards.
Okay. Do you think you could do the salary stipends one at the same time?
We probably could.
That'd be good.
I'm not sure we'll come to an agreement, but we can.
Well, we can at least get started, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. That'd be good.
Yeah. I think we got to start on that today by sort of loosely articulating some of our concerns with the flat sizing rate minimum.
Yeah. One of the other, it's not really a difficulty, but I think there's a confusion maybe about what constitutes as administrative roles. So, for example, being on a search committee, that's just service. But being a program coordinator and dealing with, say, graduate program coordinator with admissions and recruitment, so that's an administrative function. So I think one way to do it is to look at all the times that you've noticed us about someone getting a stipend. That'll give you a pretty good first pass through on what are the titled functions that are common.
But that's true. I think that's not going to capture the reality of the practice, though, because if someone's getting a course release or they're just getting an expanded service assignment in their annual assignment to cover that, we wouldn't necessarily have
a
capture.
We don't notify you unless it's monetary.
So there are people out there right now being compensated for an administrative title or task that we don't necessarily have on that list to you. Although, I'm not turning this back on you, John, but actually it would be helpful, I think, for our discussion on this side of the table, if you gave us not a universal, we're not going to hold you to it, but if you could give us a list of those types of titles that you've just mentioned that you think would fall under this, so we can maybe start looking at the universe of tasks that you're seeking the compensation for. Then we can kind of look at cost and current practice for those people. We're kind of concerned that, we're just looking at administrative title. Without a lot of limitations on what that means. And that goes back to one of the things I'm concerned about, maybe not so much my team, but I do it because of, the arbitrations that I find myself defending is I could see somebody saying, I should have gotten an administrative title for this work I'm doing. So I want a title, and I'm on $5,000. I'm going to sue for it. I'm going to file a grievance saying I'm being denied a right under Article 23. And then,
Well, that's why we need clear language. Yeah. We just have to come up with clear language.
Well, we have three coordinators in this room, one of which gets a course release every year, one gets a course release every 2 years, and one gets nothing. So it's about equity and making sure everyone's getting treated equally.
And a lot of times, what we hear from our members is that and they're telling us their personal stories, we see the patterns emerging, which is that oftentimes it's someone who's in a vulnerable position or who doesn't necessarily understand how academia works in the U.S. because they're coming from somewhere else with different traditions and things, and they just get taken advantage of. They're being told, you have to do this, and this is part of service. And it's not part of service. It's an administrative function. And meanwhile, oftentimes the person who relinquished that position was getting not just a stipend, but releases and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
If so you, that's what we're trying to do, is make it more fair and
And I'm going to try to lock you in. Feel free to qualify it as saying this is not a universal list of all potential administrative titles, but this is representative of what we are thinking of as the type of tasks that should fall under some kind of mandatory compensation. And if you could even send that to us before we meet again, that would be helpful.
Okay, we can do that. And if you could send us maybe your suggestions on the excellence awards, that would help. If you have, you know, if you have enough time.
Yeah, well, we can't do all of them, but certainly.
But if you have a few, I mean, that'll help us jumpstart it a bit.
Okay. All right. Well.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you're not going to get a hurricane up there in the pan.
How can you believe it?
What's going on?
Well, you know, every time we schedule a game with the Miami Hurricanes, we get a hurricane.
Quit